Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
And so it was that in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, this was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
This is the book that has been with our family over our last couple of weeks of bedtime stories. It was a little unexpected to me. Eleanor just picked this out a couple weeks ago. And many of you may have read it, and some it might be new to you. As we've built toward the anticipation of this night, this has stayed with me over and over. It's the best Christmas pageant ever. It was written in 1971 by Barbara Robinson. And for those that aren't familiar with it, it's a story about six siblings, the Herdmans. The narrator opens with these words: "The Herdmans were absolutely the worst kids in the history of the world. They lied and stole, smoked cigars, even the girls. They talked dirty, they hit little kids, they cursed their teachers, they even took God's name in vain. The Herdmans ran wild, wreaking havoc. Their mom worked double shifts to try to make ends meet, and their dad had abandoned them a long, long time ago. The young narrator of this is the daughter of the mom who becomes the pageant director. And she sets the stage at her little church. She says, "Of course, nobody even thought about the Herdmans in connection with the Christmas pageant. Most of us spent all week in school being pounded and poked and pushed around by the Herdmans, and we looked forward to Sunday as a real day of rest." See, you can feel where this is going, because the following Sunday, the Herdman kids barge into church just before the offering. And most folks are pretty convinced, as those plates were circulating, instead of putting something in, they were taking something out. And then they were fully present when they announced in worship that they were going to have their annual Christmas pageant. And see, the Herdmans had never heard the Christmas story before. And they were utterly mesmerized that first night when the director got them together and shared some of the version that Bob just read to us this evening from Luke's gospel. The director begins, "Joseph and Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." "Pregnant?" yells Ralph Herdman. And the big kids giggle as they hear this, and the little kids are trying to ask, why is this so funny? And then an older girl, Alice, she whispers to the narrator, "I don't think it's nice to say that Mary was pregnant." "But she was," the narrator says. And in a way, though, the narrator agreed with her. It sounds kind of ordinary to say that Mary is pregnant. Great with child, that sounds like Mary. "I'm not supposed to talk about people being pregnant," little Alice says as she folds her hands perfectly in her lap. "I'd better tell my mom." "Tell your mom what?" "That your mother is talking about these things in church." And we laughed as we kept coming back to this story over and over, hearing about these Herdman kids trying to rehearse Christmas together. The eldest one is Imogene Herdman, and she intimidates Alice. See, every year Alice has been Mary, the lead role, but not this year, because Imogene intimidates her to say, "You're going to keep your hands down when it's time to volunteer for this." And the older brother, Ralph, bullies his way into being Joseph, and you can feel where it's going, because now Leroy and Claude and Ollie, they're going to be the wise ones, the three kings, and Gladys, she's the youngest and the meanest, and she is going to be the angel of the Lord. So as soon as they announce that Gladys is going to be the angel of the Lord, the shepherds literally start running away, because they know that this is not good news for them. "Gladys Herdman hits way too hard," one of the kids says, as he makes sure that the director knows, "I need to not be a shepherd anymore. I need a different part in this pageant." And the director says, that's crazy. What are you talking about? No one is going to hit you. What kind of idea is that? The angel just shows up to the shepherds and announces this good news and then hits them, the kid says. And of course, he was right. Like, you can imagine Gladys whamming shepherds left and right as she shows up on the scenes. Like, the only way to describe it is the Herdmans are like the worst understudies in the world for this Christmas pageant. The church ladies hear about this. They can't believe that this motley crew of kids has been cast and is already getting ready to rehearse Christmas. Alice's mother tells the women's group about this, and they're convinced it's sacrilegious to let Imogene be Mary. These kids don't even come to church. How are we going to have the lead roles in this play? And eventually the co-pastors hear about it, and they step in to set things straight. You know, they tell him to go jump in a lake. No, they don't say that. What they say is that every time we come together, we're trying to root our lives in grace and follow the way of Jesus. And Jesus is one who says all means all. So when Jesus says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," all means all. Even the Herdmans are going to be part of this. And something unexpected starts to happen as these kids start to rehearse together. See, the thing is, the Herdmans didn't know anything about this story. They knew and had heard a little bit about Jesus' birthday, but the shepherds, the wise ones, there being no room for the family, this crowded in, a star. Among other things, the Herdmans were just most famous most famous for not paying attention to anyone. These are the kids that, whether it was their teacher or their parents or someone else's parents, the police officer, the truant officer, the firefighter, they had interactions with all of them, and they listened to none of them. And they sat mesmerized as the director shared with them this story of Christmas from Luke's gospel. "What's that?" they would yell whenever they didn't understand this churchy language she was using. And when the director read about there being no room in the inn, Imogene's jaw just drops to the ground. She sits up straight. "My God, no room, not even for Jesus?" Well, they didn't know, after all, that this was Jesus that was going to be born that day. And Ralph interjects, "You said Mary knew. Why doesn't Mary say something?" And then Imogene responds, "I would have told them." "And what's the matter with Jesus? Or what's the matter with Joseph? Joseph was right there knowing. Why didn't he step in to say something?" And when they get to the part about swaddling clothes and the manger, Imogene asks, "So here's what you're meaning to tell me. They tied him up and they put him in a feed box. Where was child welfare?" The herdmen's are like utterly unimpressed with these kings that show up. The kings come bringing oil. That's what they learn, that frankincense and myrrh are precious oil. And Imogene protests, "Oil? What kind of cheap king shows up for a baby with precious oil? There's nothing beautiful about that." "If I was a king," Leroy says, "I wouldn't let Herod push me around." See, they start to learn more of the story, and they start to let it take hold of their bodies, and they learn that this Herod character wants to take Jesus' life. And then they start to plot to go after Herod, and then they can't believe that their little Christmas pageant version at the church isn't even going to include Herod. They're leaving that out. The herdmans cannot believe that this is what's going on. And as the night approaches, you can imagine the narrator is anxious about all of this. She just couldn't understand the herdmans. "You would have thought," she writes, that the Christmas story came right out of FBI files. These herdmans just got so involved. They wanted a bloody end to Herod, and they're worried about Mary having a baby in a barn, and calling the wise ones dirty spies. And her mother sits her down and says, "Just suppose that you'd never heard the Christmas story yourself. Just hold that. What would you think?" And the narrator becomes pretty amazed. See, it didn't seem natural to her that her father would be on the same side as the herdmans in this story. It didn't seem natural that the herdmans would be on the right side of the story. She assumed they'd be in it with Herod. And Imogene was wondering so much about this story that was taking a hold of her, she actually went and took the narrator to the library because she wanted to read about this story. The librarian had been there for 38 years and never had an experience quite like this. Imogene shows up. She has to learn how to check out a book first. And she says, "I want to read about Jesus." And her brother says, "Not Jesus. I want to read about the one that's trying to get Jesus, Herod." And the librarian feels like, as she goes into retirement, that little moment of being in it with those kids, that could sustain her for the rest of her days. See, having read through the script and blocked the scenes and addressed the challenges with the polishing rehearsal, they even had a dress rehearsal that brought the fire department out. The special night is finally arriving, and the anxiety in the director is like beyond the roof. "I don't know what's going to happen," she says. "It may be the first Christmas pageant in history where Joseph and the wise ones get into a fight and Mary runs away with a baby." And then the pageant takes a surprising turn. They sing those first two verses of "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and then they're supposed to hum some more. While Mary and Joseph come in from a side door, and they look over, and Ralph and Imogene are right there. But for the first time ever, They're not coming through the door pushing each other out of the way. They're just standing in the doorway for what feels like a whole minute, as if they weren't sure that they're in the right place. Maybe they looked out and they saw the candles, a church filled up. They looked like the people that you see in the news, refugees sent to wait in some ugly place with everything they've got in sacks around them. Refugees. Refugees like Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And it suddenly occurs to the narrator that this might be just the way it was for the real Holy Family. Stuck away in a out in the middle of nowhere, born to a woman that everybody thought was a nobody in the middle of nowhere. They couldn't have been very neat and tidy, just like the Herdmans, Mary and Joseph. See, Imogene had a baby doll, but she wasn't carrying it in her cradled arms the way where we teach the kids to in that moment. She had that baby doll thrown up over her shoulder. She starts to hit it on the back of the back, on its own back. And as soon as she does this, Alice is ready. She's aghast again. She looks over and says, "You cannot hit the baby Jesus on the back like you're burping him, like he has colic. You cannot do this." And then she pauses, and Alice says, "Do you suppose that he could have had colic?" "I don't know why not," the narrator says. "He could have had colic or been fussy or been hungry like any other baby. After all, that's the whole point. He didn't come down from a cloud, but was born and lived as a real person." And right now, this evening, we're gathering together around the version of the Christmas story from Luke's gospel. But tonight at 11, we'll gather around John's version. And in that, we'll be reminded of God's love for creation that is so deep that the Word becomes flesh and dwelt among us. Another way that that's translated is the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And we all know in our neighborhoods, in our flesh and blood, just how easily it is for the power and the beauty of this candlelight moment, this Christmas reality, to just be lost. Whether it's in rushing around with our shopping lists, or trying to make sure everything for the meal tonight or tomorrow is just as it needs to be. Or maybe it's the fear and the anxiety that rises as we realize we're going to sit down with family and friends across some really deep tensions and divisions. See, the Herdmans were understudies in every sense of the term. They'd been learning their roles in order to replace the regular actors at that little church in the Christmas pageant every year. They'd been living in the story, rehearsing Christmas. And as they do that, these understudies find their way into a lead role, inhabiting their roles in such a way that everybody around them starts to see the power and the hope and the beauty of Christmas in them, right in front of them, as if this is happening for the very first time. And the hearts of the Herdmans are transformed as they rehearse this story, as they become the Christmas story. And so perhaps our hearts might be moved this night as well. See, you remember Gladys Herdman? She was cast as the announcing angel. She's the only one in all the Herdmans that gets to have like a speaking part. So she takes full advantage of being the one that is going to get to say something out loud during the pageant. She shows up on cue. "Hey, unto you a child is born." And she says this with a deep conviction, like she means it. Like she actually thinks this is true. And she wants everybody around her to know this. And they are Well, mostly they're sore afraid as she shows up, but the tremble gives a good look in the pageant, and there's a truth to what it captures. And finally, those three herdman kids come in as they sing We Three Kings. And everybody's pretty certain that they're going to offer burnt offerings. And they actually don't really show up with the fancy bath salts that they use normally for frankincense and myrrh. What they show up with is a ham. And it's wrapped. It still has a red ribbon on it. It's that little church's Reaching in Love committee had given it to them a couple days ago. And they showed up with it at the Christmas pageant. And we know in the story that those wise ones drop it off and they take off, but not the herdman kids. They put that ham down. It's not kosher, but it's beautiful. And they just sit down there with that little baby and that little family. And they're going to stay a little while. The narrator recounts that the herdmans had never before in their lives given anything away except lumps on the head. You had to be impressed as they gifted that to the community, back to God. Everyone sang Silent Night, everybody out in the pews. They sang all the verses. When they got to Son of God Loves Pure Light, this thing that people had been wondering about happened. Everybody knew that they were waiting for the herdmans to do something unexpected, absolutely unexpected. And it happened. It happened, sure enough. Imogen Herdman is sitting there holding that little baby, and she's crying. In the candlelight, her face is shiny with tears. She is not even wiping them away. She just sits there. Awful old Imogen in a crooked veil, crying and crying and crying. It's as if she had just caught on to the idea of God and the wonder of Christmas. And the herdmans may very well have been the worst understudies in the history of the world, but they go on to become the leads as they catch on to this idea of God and the wonder of Christmas. So may we too, this night, become understudies. Nothing more, nothing less. Learning from the herdmans, from Mary, from Joseph, and the wise ones, the angels, the shepherds. Because tonight, the word becomes flesh and blood and moves into the neighborhood. And friends, that changes everything. So may we catch on to the idea of God, and may the wonder of Christmas grab a hold of us like it did those herdman kids, so that Christmas will transform our lives and we might really learn together what it means that God is with us. Emmanuel. Merry Christmas. Amen.
Amen.